Good morning, church. Buenos dias, iglesia. The crucified perspective, or the changes that are caused by Christ crucified. The changes that are caused within our hearts and souls by Christ crucified. And what they do, what Christ will do when he is crucified in our lives, is create action for us. We're going to want to do things for him. He provided for us, by his death, an avenue of action, an avenue of life, and an avenue of growth. Because Christ was crucified, you might view this as a continuation of last week's thoughts. But these ideas, all these ideas, are based upon a conviction on my heart that we become more like Christ, and that we, as a people, act like people who are changed due to Christ crucified. Because, as I said last week, I take John 12, 32 and 33 very seriously. John 12, 32 and 33 says this. And I, Christ says about himself, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. Okay? He went to the cross. He died. This is not a secret. He's not ashamed about this. This is what he did. And he said, if this is presented, all people will be drawn unto him. I think we can still show Christ crucified and have the same results today. Now, one might ask, how can you show Christ crucified when he already died on the cross? We can't keep crucifying Christ over and over again, can we? Oh, no, we cannot do that, because Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 is very clear. We should not try to crucify Christ again. Indeed, people who try doing that may be doing something that might be very, very dangerous. He died one time. To crucify him over and over again for our personal well-being is a very dangerous concept. Hebrews 6, chapter 4 says, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of this age to come, and then to fall away, it is impossible to renew again to them repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. So that verse is a very dangerous verse. We don't want to crucify Christ again. But there is still power in Christ crucified. Again, a verse from last week, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Paul, when talking to the very difficult Corinthian people, leading to a very difficult Corinthian church, he says the origins of how that church was established. He gave the secret of how that church grew. He says, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want to know that same power today. I want to share that same power today. I want to see the same church-growing power of Christ crucified today. Because it was by the power of Christ crucified that the Corinthian church was established and grown. Because Christ crucified was not just an event in history. Christ crucified was one event in history that changes anybody and everybody who accepts it to be true. Our lives today are changed by Christ crucified. And when we display a life changed by Christ crucified, our lives would draw all people to God. I'll say it again. If we display a life changed by Christ crucified, then our lives will draw all people to God like Christ did. That's what I believe. Does that seem too metaphysical? Does it seem too much of a stretch? Well, after Paul says that he only preached Christ crucified, he immediately follows it up with action. Christ crucified caused Paul to do things. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2, 2 through 5, and read more of a continuation of that logic. 1 Corinthians 2, 2 through 5, Paul says, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Let's break this down, these verses here, for today's sermon. Christ crucified was what compelled Paul to be with people. Christ crucified was what compelled Paul to be with people. And this should be our natural reaction after we become Christians. Sure, there's a selfish phase of Christianity, right, where we got to take care of ourselves. Okay, save yourself from this generation. We got to believe. We have to repent. We have to get baptized. But I do pray that once that phase is over, our lives are about other people. In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, there was such a desire and a fire in the people of God to talk about Jesus, they couldn't help it. Even with the threat of jail, even with the threat of physical persecution, they said, no, we got to keep talking about Jesus. Acts 4:20, when Peter and John were told, shut up, don't talk about Jesus, they said, verse 19, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking but what we have seen and heard. That we leave a life based upon finding one personal pleasure after another. I realize that anybody I know who is not a Christian, their entire lives are about feeling good. That's all they care about. How can I feel good here? Now I'm bored. Feel good here? Now I'm bored. That's their entire life. Like a bird flies around trying to find food all day. That's all people in the world do. They want to find pleasure all day. That's it. But then we leave that kind of bird life and go to become a better life, inspired to live for other people, not for our own pleasure. That's what Christ crucified does for us. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says it directly. 2 Corinthians 5:15, to see the power of Christ crucified. And he died for all. He was crucified. He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. That's what Christ crucified does, hopefully. And that's why I'm pushing to be more like Christ in 2019, because Christ died to allow us to become more like him. Christ was with people who were lost. Paul was with people who were lost. As my brother counsel read this morning, as Paul said, be like me as I'm like Christ. So just like Christ and Paul were with lost people, we have to be with people who are lost and draw them to Christ. Christ crucified caused Paul to be, as is written in first, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The next experience Paul went through because of Christ crucified, he says, I came to you in weakness, in fear, and in trembling. Was Paul nervous about talking to Corinthians? Was Paul scared? Was it stage fright that he was going through? I think it's something deeper than that. I don't think Paul was just scared to talk to the Corinthian people. You know, when we talk about becoming a Christian, we don't imagine ourselves becoming and entering into a realm of fear and trembling. No way. I think we think that we should be rich, healthy, and strong as Christians. The whole health and wealth Christianity, that if we're a Christian, that should be the result. Forgetting, however, that we're talking about the results of Christ crucified. Not Christ in wrath and anger and vengeance. That is not the Christ that came to earth to die on the cross for our sins. No, don't get me wrong. That Christ will come one day when it's all over. But right now, while souls are in contention, fighting a good fight, Christ came to earth in weakness. He came to die on the cross as a living sacrifice, and a sacrifice that died as well. When Christ came to earth in weakness, that allowed God's power to work. Oh, sure, he could have come down and destroyed everybody, but nobody would have gotten saved. Now, when Christ came in weakness, God's power was allowed to work. Christ had to give up his life and die to save the day, to save the era, to save the world, and to save our souls. So we too should be prepared to put our human pride aside, our human strength aside, yes, even our human wisdom aside, as Paul said, even my wisdom I put aside so that God's power can shine. I'm seeing more and more that being a person of God is not so much how smart I am or how much Bible I know or how amazing I can be. It is more like getting out of the way of God, letting God be where I used to be. That's how God is shown properly. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. I love armor. I love armor of God ideas. I love that. And there's a time for being full of armor and strong and invincible. When the devil's attacking us, put on God's armor, okay? Yes, indeed. But when it comes to the world, when it comes to showing the power of God, I pray we can put aside our armor, put aside our crowns, and be like jars of clay that are easily crackled and brittle. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." There may be a band called Jars of Clay, but what Paul's saying, a jar of clay is not awesome at all. It's not cool to be a jar of clay. It's the worst place you can be, because he realized, if I'm just a jar of clay, then God's power can show. He says, as a result of being a jar of clay, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not despairing. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We're always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Oh, look at that. Christ crucified again pops up in terms of how we are able to reach people. He says, we are always carrying in our lives, in our body, the dying of Jesus. That's why the power of Christ's death can happen over and over again in our lives. He says, so that the life of Jesus, see, the life of Jesus also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. I believe our job as Christians is mostly getting our flesh out the way and allowing Christ's body to be there in its place so that God can work. If we tell people we are righteous because we're smart, where's the glory of God in that? If we tell people we are happy because we are rich, where's the honor to God? But if we are honest and truthful to the world, showing them that we are actually miserable and dumb and poor without God, they will notice God. They will see God. Because that's the reality. As the book of Isaiah says, we think we're all that. We're not all that. We're like dust in the palm of God's hand. He can blow away if he wants to. That's who we really are. If we show to the world that all you see good about me is actually God, it's going to be God. So Paul showed weakness in order to show God's strength. Paul showed fear and trembling in order to show God's courage. It wasn't stage fright. I believe he showed that on purpose to recognize it's not me, it's God. A life changed by Christ crucified is a life where we are not trying to promote ourselves, but Christ alone. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable for the Lord. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable for the Lord, because that's when we show the Lord the most. Don't worry, God will protect you. I think one concern is that we think, if I'm vulnerable, I'm going to get hurt. Don't worry, God will take care of you. There's a balm of Gilead he'll apply upon you. We have a regeneration process from the Lord. All of our wounds get healed all the time. No, the Bible says be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1. Check it out. Let's read it. Romans 12, verse 1. "Therefore I urge you," he says, brethren, Paul, "by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." I don't see any room for pride, strength, dignity in a sacrifice. That's the whole point of a sacrifice. We are giving ourselves up for the Lord. And if we do that, people, we are showing Christ crucified, and we will draw all people to him. Third point, this is somewhat complicated. I hope it's not overly complicated. I heard Brother Clark's prayer that I preach a simple lesson that can be understood. So I'll try, brother, right here. You see, 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5 says more about Christ crucified. It says that he showed God's power. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5 says, as a result of Christ crucified, I came to you and showed the power of God. And my message, he says, was not by preaching, and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. This is a great discussion. I love that verse. Now, I've heard it said that this means that Paul performed miracles in front of the church. You know, Paul maybe healed somebody, maybe cast out a demon. And I've heard that, and maybe. I mean, we know Paul was able to do miracles, and we know miracles were there to confirm and testify to the truth. We got that. We understand that. But the text does not say that. The text does not say that explicitly. It doesn't say that that's exactly what Paul did. I like to think there is greater power than mere miracles here displayed. I don't like the idea that Paul got their attention by performing miracles. It's part of it, but miracles are only a small portion of the real power of God. Again, it could be talking about miracles here, but do we actually believe that showing God's power can only be done through miracles and signs and wonders? Do we believe today that God's power can only be shown through miracles? I really hope not. If we think that the best days of Christian power were shown a long time ago in that first century church tradition, then when the apostles were around and miracles were taking place, then I believe we are shortchanging ourselves. We would be spiritually, I believe, shooting ourselves in the foot if we think the best days are gone. The power days are over. Because the Bible, I believe, shows the opposite pattern of this. The idea that it was better and better in the past and as we go forward in history, or worse and worse. No, I think it's the opposite when it comes to the Bible and the church and God. This morning I said that with every day we live our lives, the Bible is being proven more true. How about our church? The Bible will say that when Christ was finally revealed, it was like a mystery being solved finally. That everybody is waiting. Angels and apostles and prophets were trying to figure out what it was. And it finally was revealed through Jesus. Ephesians 3, 4 through 6. Look at this. Ephesians 3, 4 through 6. Paul says, I'm referring to this. Ephesians 3, 4 through 6. When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And so when Christ finally arrived, yes, it's finally here. The mystery is solved. The entire Old Testament was talking about this day. It finally occurred. It finally arrived. And I can say with much confidence that when Christ was around, the earth had never seen a time as good as that. I wish at times I could have seen Christ walking on the earth. Man, how amazing that would have been. How did he really look? How did he talk? How did he smell? You know, what did Jesus Christ smell like? How must that have been to be with Jesus Christ? And yet Christ himself would say, it'll get better when I leave. Look at John 14, 12. I know it was great when Christ was around, but he would say, John 14, 12, he would say, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Christ would say very clearly that when he leaves, better things will happen. There'll be a better situation, a better era. And it's true, because when he left, the church got established. The apostles came along. The Bible was written. Miracles. That first century church was a very amazing time. Despite the Roman, anti-Roman environment, the Judaizers, the Greeks, no, the powerful church. Miracles, signs, wonders, the Bible. Can it get any better than that? That first century church. Yes, it can, and it did, according to the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul puts this time period in its place for us. We think it must have been great to do miraculous powers and wonders and signs and prophecies. But 1 Corinthians 12, the very last verse, says, yeah, desire spiritual gifts, but he will say, I will show you an even better way than that. 1 Corinthians 13, that better way, what is better than signs and miracles and wonders and all this power is love. And as far as I've last checked, we can still show love today. Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains even, but do not have love, I am nothing. So I believe that the most powerful form of Christianity can still be shown today. I mean, what does 1 John 4:8 say? 1 John 4:8, what does it say? God is miracles. God is prophecy. God is healing. No, it says God is love. God is, here we go. And God is love is the most powerful force there is. So back in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5, this is where I'm coming with this. When Paul says, I came, in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5, when he says, I came with power and not with the wisdom of men, just know that we can show, whatever he showed, we can show an even greater power today. And I believe Paul showed love as well. I'm pretty sure he did. If we show Christ crucified today, we show the greatest power of all. So that people will know for a fact that it's not us, it's God. This power is visible and shown when we are with people, reaching out to the community, and our motivation is love. Because that's why Christ died on the cross. We heard it already today, Brother Council, because of love. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, one more time as we close. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message was not, and my preaching was, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you're a Christian today, please join us as we try to become more like Jesus in 2019. If you're not a Christian today, please consider believing and being baptized today as we stand and sing.